And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I should go on. So
we're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because like I'm heartbroken.
All right, you're very welcome along to the GAAR Hurling Show. Some great stuff coming up in today's show, with two massive quarterfinals in Thurles on Sunday. We've got Waterford versus Wexford first, and then probably the big one of the day is Clare versus Galway. With me in studio to talk about it are Mikey, Conal Keeney, and Damien Hayes is on the line. Welcome, lads.
How are you?
Lads, I wanted to start off talking about Henry Shefflin's piece. It was last Saturday in the Independent. We obviously didn't have a show on Monday, so I'll get your thoughts on it now. Pundits seem to be lining up to put the boot into Waterford after the Munster final, Conal. You know, especially with their systems. You know, Michael Deignan said he was delighted in his commentary that they lost. It's not this bad, is it?
Look, I think it's easy to give out about them now and the system, the way it went so wrong for them. But look, it's got them so far, and I could guarantee they won't go too far away from it on the weekend. You know, you don't just work on a game plan for the last couple of seasons and then throw it out the window and win by a game. You know, probably from Derek McGrath's point of view, he's probably going to say that they didn't work hard enough, which meant that the game plan didn't work. So I would still say he still believes in the game plan, although he might need to tweak it a little bit. But whether he needs to tweak it enough for this weekend against Wexford, you know, I'd be very surprised. They'd probably still have enough for Wexford this weekend.
Yeah, Damien, he says that Wexford weren't being guided by discs on a whiteboard. They were being guided by instinct. As in Waterford, you know, they're too robotic and they've got too much, you know, their system has too much influence over the way they play. Is that fair?
It's not fair. No. Like, as I said to you, Waterford last day, so they missed a lot of scores at the very start of the match. So they did, and next thing, when they conceded the goal, so they did to Tipperary. At that stage, they were 3 points up. They were after missing a couple of scores, and next thing, they were after letting in a very soft goal. Now, if they didn't let in that soft goal, Waterford were going to be, you know, were going to be pushing on. But once they let in the goal, they dropped their heads. Now, as regards the Wexford's, you know, that they're being guided on instinct. Like, it's easy to say that, but you know, a lot of people wouldn't have said that last year, that they were being guided on instinct. You know, a lot of people were saying that Wexford were playing extremely poor. But look, as Conal said there, Derek McGrath isn't going to throw out his system, in my opinion. Maybe he might alter it a little bit, where he'll, at all times, maybe he might have two men in the full forward line, you know, and he can still have numbers back like that. But he's not going to abandon everything that he's worked on for 2 years. Like last year he won a National Hurling League title, which was a big thing in Waterford. He got them to a Munster final. This year he's after getting them to another Munster final. And, you know, in fairness, they gave Kilkenny a fair game last year in the All-Ireland semi-final. So I don't think they're going to alter things too much, but maybe they might at different stages have two men inside in the full forward. And that's the only difference that I can see.
Yeah, they had 10 wides as well in the first half against Tipperary, so you factor that in as well. There was things that went wrong outside of a system, and this idea that Derek McGrath, if he had longer, would change his system, I think is very insulting to the Waterford Hurling team.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. And Henry's talking about a club game, right, that he played last week, and he was faced by a sweeper, like it's the big bad wolf, and he said, I'd have to go out to midfield to get on a few balls. And he said, honestly, it would turn me off the game if I had to hurl the whole time like that. Like,
well, I think you should try and play club football in Dublin. There's two or three sweepers all the time.
Yeah. But like, is this kind of narrative, is this being influenced by the football? Because he does actually reference the fact that he's followed the debate about football closely. And like, I mean, I'm looking from the outside, I'm not a pundit, but like, it looks to me that only Clare and Waterford play like this. You know, all the big other counties, the big players in the All-Ireland, they're not going really with sweepers. Like, this isn't at the level that football, you know, that maybe negativity in football has gone.
Yeah, it's not as bad as that, I think, now. But I think a lot of teams do have the mentality of, right, we'll hold it tight in the first 10 or 15 minutes, and that may be bringing the half forwards a little bit deeper, or maybe bringing one midfielder back to help out in the half back line. But it certainly isn't the case where, I don't know where Henry Shefflin would be playing his hurling, because the sweepers all over the country, I can see in club teams are trying to implement exactly what Waterford and Clare do. And
are they though? Is that the issue, that club teams are now copying?
I think so. I think they see what's happening. They try and see the game moving on, so they think that's the way to do it. But Whether it's the right thing, I don't know. And it's for the supporters, you can see it's frustrating because it's not probably the prettiest game to watch, you know. And it can be hard to see a man passing the ball back and all these schmozzles that happen. And it can be hard to watch. But look, Derek McGrath doesn't care if he gets over Wexford in the weekend. What kind of what people think of him, really, you know?
Yeah, Damien Henry says that the best thing to do is keep it simple, and that Brian Cody is the smartest manager around. But like, what works for Kilkenny doesn't necessarily work for someone like Waterford, you know, that's coming from such a low base and they have to try something different. Like, Kilkenny are always there. They've got the players, you know, they've got the structures in Kilkenny. They don't even care about Gaelic football, so all the resources go into their senior hurling team. So like, you know, is it fair for Henry Shefflin to come out in the national media and criticise what might work for maybe a Waterford?
No, you can't. No, I suppose it's not fair, you know. Like, it's very hard to be comparing any team to Kilkenny. You know, is it in the last 13 years Kilkenny have won the last 10 All-Irelands? Like, I'm often asked the question, like, how come Galway haven't won an All-Ireland? Like this, and I always just give a very simple answer to this. Like, we came up against a phenomenal Kilkenny side with legendary players that might never be seen again, you know. But like Waterford have their own style of hurling, you know. Like, you take Kilkenny, man for man, every one of them were very, very strong and very powerful in the air. You know, where even in my own game, that was never my strongest area. It was in the air. Mine was stronger on the ground, right? So, like, Waterford can't start looking at videos and looking at all these things that Kilkenny are doing and saying this is where we're going to hurl. They have to hurl their own system. So, like, I don't really agree with Henry. And I suppose if like the next debate then is if Waterford won the Munster Championship there Sunday week ago, would their system be absolutely perfect?
Well, that's it. And yeah, they did win a league. People say you don't win with that system ultimately, but they won a league coming from nowhere. So, like, they have got success with it.
And they have.
And they have good hurlers. You know, they have good hurlers at Waterford. They have really, really good hurlers, nice hurlers, stylish hurlers. And as I said in the Munster final, just if they tapped over a couple of them pints that they missed and didn't leak the goal, you'd wonder how Tip would have responded.
Waterford don't get beaten 7-20 to a point in a minor football match either. So the point you touched on a minute ago, Kilkenny put their heart and soul into hurling in schools, colleges, you know, underage systems. Everything is about hurling. So again, it's a little bit rich to say you've been following the football debate quite that closely when you know that's about all you the only interest you have in football, clearly.
Yeah, what is your opinion on this? Now, Damien, I'll go to Conal first, because this is something that bothers me a little bit about Kilkenny. Because I'm on record in football, I often give out about Dublin and unfair advantages they have with, you know, population and with money, and that, you know, they've got a lot of advantages other teams don't. Like, Dublin are nowhere near as dominant as Kilkenny are in hurling, yet nobody talks about the fact that all Kilkenny's resources go into hurling. They don't care about football. They show disregard to football. They don't try to promote football. All their money, all their players, they don't have the Conal Keeney dual issues, the Podge Collinses, the Aidan Walshes. Galway have them, Dublin have them, Cork have them, Tipperary now have them. All split down the middle. Now, Tipperary maybe not really split down the middle, but that's, you know, they have those issues to contend with. You don't have Brian Cody talking to JJ Delaney, you know, you can't play hurling or football when it's his first love. That's a massive advantage, Conal.
Ah, look, it is huge. Like, the biggest problem we have nearly in Dublin is that some lads are nearly too good and they're able to play both. And then you're penalised nearly when you come out of minor because you're forced to go one or the other, and you're really reliant on managers agreeing, and you're being pulled here and there. And obviously, if you could concentrate on one fully, like a lot of the Kilkenny lads do, like, football doesn't even come into their thinking underage.
Yeah.
You know, and they're following a team that's so successful. So, look, it's been years and years. It's not just in the last 10 years this is the case. It's gone down through the ranks, and the younger lads are going to Croke Park watching any team player, and it seems to be always Kilkenny hurler. So that's just a natural progression, and it definitely is wrong, because there is some diehards in Kilkenny that really enjoy playing football, but like, what's the point playing football when everything is geared towards the hurling?
Yeah, and what do you think about that, Damien?
I couldn't agree more with Conal there. I suppose Kilkenny's first love is hurling. That's it. All the talk about is hurling. Like, I think I made a reference myself and my wife went away. So we did one night down in Kilkenny, and the Champions League soccer match was on, and we were kind of nearly rushing to go down to see it. And I went like this, look, there's no point rushing. I said, they won't be showing it in pubs. But I think DJ's trying to sort that out, isn't he, with football this year, isn't he?
Who?
DJ.
TJ Reid, yeah?
No, DJ Carey.
Oh.
Is he?
I think he is, yeah. He's doing something there to help develop and get football up and running in Kilkenny. I'm very certain of that. I think I heard that in the radio there one day.
All right,
you can get someone to clarify that now to make certain of it. But I'm nearly certain, yeah.
I think we will, because it's definitely a left fielder from what I hear.
That's the man I'd get in to sort out football.
You
anyway.
Must be giving him a hand, Amy, now.
What? me? Yeah. Me? No, I'd be more into the soccer now, being honest. I'd be able to tell you a lot more about what's going on in the Premiership and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, we had Kevin O'Donovan on, and he's talking about directors of hurling and football last week, and... You know, what is wrong with Kilkenny putting some of the resources into a director of football or get in, you know, a big name, say a Kieran Whelan, for example, from Dublin, bring him down as their senior manager? Because there's always this argument, oh, well, there's loads of football counties that don't care about hurling. You know, the teams in Ulster, they do. They all put hurling teams into the National League. And it's very, very difficult with hurling because it's such a skill game to develop that in a weaker county. But it's not difficult to develop a football team. You know, the way the game's gone, you will be able to compete at a solid level if you get some structures. And it's not fair.
No, it's not fair, but like, I think you're absolutely wasting your time. They have no interest in football.
Yeah.
All they want to do is play the hurling, and they win the hurling.
Can you change that, though? Like, can an effort be made to try and change? I know it's the habits of a lifetime, but like, some effort could be made to do it.
You can make an effort all you want, but at the end of the day, they don't really care about football, and it's so obvious when you go down there, you know, that every single kid has a hurl in their hand, and that's all that matters to them. And the county board, Brian Cody, doesn't care about football. That's full stop. So you can bring in all these directors of football and bring everything you want and bring GPOs down and do what you want, but at the end of the day, it's hurling.
You always hear the rumours, like Tommy Walsh supposedly is a savage footballer.
You know, yeah,
you haven't seen a footballer play, you've seen Tommy Walsh play football. There's always at least one player on the Kilkenny senior hurling team. Somebody you know from Kilkenny will tell you, oh, geez, you should see him. If he's from any other county now, he'd be winning football all-stars. You always hear these rumours.
Yeah, and if for some reason I couldn't see Cody going, you're okay to play Jewel. Work away there the day before we play an All-Ireland quarter-final like Podge Collins. I don't think Podge would last too long with those requests.
Jesus, no way. But I tell you, out of that article, you could take one thing out of it. When I read it struck me that his emphasis is in keeping it so simple, and Brian Cody, that's what his method was, keeping it simple and not overcomplicated. And I think that's a lot of teams that I was involved with in inter-county, you know, overcomplicate everything. You know, everyone gets a role, the strength and conditioning gets a role, there's a mental coach, there's all of these dietitians, everything. But then if the manager isn't strong enough to realise that, as Dale used to say, I'm always going back to it, 90% is the hurling and everything else is 10%.
Yeah.
You know, everything else is 10%, not the other way around, because at the end of the day you have to still perform on the pitch. It doesn't matter if you've eaten well for the last 6 months or if you haven't been to the gym or whatever the case is, you still have to go to that ball. Like, going to the gym and eating all the right things isn't going to make you put the ball over the bar.
Yeah,
to help, but it's not going to do it.
No,
for
and honestly, I do think that in my experience managers can hide behind all this, oh, I've got a great structure, I've got all this, look at everything I'm after getting for you, nutritionists, all this. That's irrelevant. Yeah. What you do, actually telling us, implementing a game plan, telling us how you want us to play, that's the important thing for a manager. Getting all these extra fellas in, like, it's a bit of colour and it looks great. Oh, they've got a professional setup. But like you said, that's not what a manager's job is. That's just our, like, you could bring a soccer or rugby manager in and you'd bring all those things in.
Yeah, I think players really realise that who are the bluffers as managers straight away when they start giving roles to people that is nearly irrelevant to our game, you know, and making a big deal out of it. Like, if you don't go to the gym 3 times a week, you're not going to be training on Saturday with us, or making penalties like this. Like, it's gone full circle, you know.
Yeah.
Like, when I started with the footballers many moons ago, it was like, who could lift the most, who could do the most weights, who's in the gym the most, and yet when you come to try and kick the ball out of the bar from 20 yards, none of us could do it because we're always in the gym. So everyone has their role, but I think a strong manager like a Cody, whoever it is, the emphasis is on getting the most, do what you have to do to get yourself right for the game on the weekend. And
yeah,
that's ultimately it.
Another thing, Damien, as well, is the drink bans. I won't go too much into them, people know my opinion, but your ability to abstain from drink for like a 3 month period should have no effect on your ability to perform, you know, at the weekend.
Well, sometimes the whole drink ban is completely overdone. You take a lot of the professional players, I just talked in particular about the, you know, the rugby players, when they go abroad to play a game, you know, even like in the Pro 12s, like for example, Connacht going over to Edinburgh to play a match, all of them lads have drinks after the games, you know, and it's just this drink ban. It's like sometimes it's completely overdone, and I think Brian Cody once said in an article that he's never really spoken about having rules and bans in place, because he goes, if something happens then he has to put his authority, and he says, and he doesn't want to do stuff like that.
About maybe 3 years ago, you did Dublin play Kilkenny down in Port Leash in the Leinster Championship. Maybe 3 years ago, perhaps. I happened to be in one of the hotels there in Port Leash, and Cody came in. Most of the players came in. They all went up to the bar, ordered a pint of Guinness, drank their pint of Guinness, chatted to a few people, went on their way. No big deal.
He did say that he doesn't like to put rules and bans. He says he likes players to, you know, be able to carry themselves, but he says not to go overboard, because he says when you have rules and regulations or whatever you want to call it, he says, in place, he says, then you have to start implementing them, he says, and he says that's when things start getting very serious. So, but drink bans, everything in moderation. That's my opinion. You should have a burger and chips there after the match if you want. You mightn't be playing another game for 2 weeks. That'd be your treat. You know,
look, I think the best thing for a manager to say, look, you know, everyone here is mature and they're at an inter-county level and have a serious level of fitness. Look, if you want to go and have 10 points, go and have 10 points, but make sure you're able to perform on the Tuesday of training.
Yeah.
And a lot of lads would say, Jesus, I'm not sure if I could do that. Like, maybe two or three and I'll leave it at that. But that, like, I don't think any player, like, you look at, remember, we went on drink bans for so long, and you get beaten on the Sunday, and then you have a qualifier the next Sunday, and you go on the bender for like 2 days, and you're trying to come around again only on the Thursday night, and you have a game on the Saturday. So what have you been doing the last 6 months after drink for one game, and you lose it?
Like, yeah, it makes no, and like, when you've 30 different fellas on a panel, you made a good point there. Like, I could go out maybe on a Saturday night, and on Tuesday night, I'd be at the front of all the runs. My body was just, I'm skinny, I'm naturally fit. It was no problem to me. But like, to somebody else, they'd go, right, I'm struggling for fitness. And a manager says, right, well, you're down at the back of all the groups and you've been out Saturday night. You know, you can't be out Saturday. You know what I mean? It's different for everybody. Everyone has to tailor the way they kind of, you know, work it. But I thought it was funny with Henry with this piece. It was a little bit ironic in that he talked about copycat managers in hurling, and then he completely copied the whole football pundit kind of narrative with the copycat management. All right, we'll move on to the first of the quarterfinals is Waterford versus Wexford. You know, Waterford coming off an awful hammering. We'll start with them first, Conal. How do you see them lining up? Do you see them making changes to their system?
Yeah, like, maybe a little bit. I think their game plan is so reliant on everyone working so hard for each other, you know, and maybe they were a little bit off, or maybe they were a little bit overcooked the last day. It's very hard to know, but look, these things happen, you know, in big games. You just don't perform, especially when the team is relatively young. It just happens on the day that maybe the occasion got them a little bit, that it just didn't happen for them. But I certainly don't think, as we were saying earlier on, that they're going to go away from the game plan that they've been trying to develop the last 3 or 4 seasons. Although, as Damien was saying, they may tweak it a small bit to try and have more of a threat up front, because they certainly will need goals. And look, as I said, I don't really believe that they're going to tweak it a huge amount for this Wexford game, but just ever so slightly, because I still think they're going to have enough for this Wexford team on the weekend.
How difficult is it to play against this Waterford team, you know, in that middle third where the bodies are everywhere? Like, it's a total culture shock the first time you come up against it, or...
It's very much like the way nearly football has been played now. As soon as you get the ball, there's 3 or 4 lads on you, and you're nearly panicking. You don't know what to do with it, you know, and you end up just giving it away, and that's exactly what they want, you know. So Wexford haven't really come up against a team like that, I don't think, in the last couple of seasons, and unless they're really up for the fight, they're going to be, the life is going to be choked out of them, and they're really going to be under pressure. But look, I can't see. I definitely, there has to be a kick out of Waterford after that defeat against Tipperary, and I'm sure when they seen the draw, you know, quietly they were saying, this is exactly what we need, you know, to get back on track, and probably Wexford is a nice little step for them to take.
Yeah, Damien, what do you think? If anything, the hammering against Tipperary, if Derek's saying they went more orthodox against Tipperary, if anything, they're going to revert back to the ultra defensive system that, you know, has served them so well.
Yeah, Colm, it, being honest with you, the way Waterford played the last day, it shouldn't matter what Derek McGrath says. If them lads don't take a look at themselves in the mirror and say that they were disgusted with what happened in the outcome of that Munster final, and they put in a performance the next day, if Derek McGrath has to start doing big talking, like, if them boys have to, them players have to start stepping up to the mark and wanting to put in a performance, how do I think Waterford will line up next Monday? I reckon they will stick with their sweeper. Tadhg De Borca will stay as a sweeper. I do reckon they will go as a two-man full forward line. So I do, and I reckon they'll pull everything back.
So Morris, Shanahan and Curran will be left in there?
Exactly. Basically, there will be two players I feel will be left in there at all times, side, right? And the corner forward will come out as a wing forward, and the wing forward will drop in literally as a third midfielder, and Everton will be pulled back to try condense space. And basically, as we know, Turles is a room that you can. So I think at all times there'll always be two players inside. I think that's the readjustment that he has to do, because there's been balls being hit in to the full forward line the last day that dropped into the Tipperary goalkeeper, and they were just being poked back up the field. So I think Derek McGrath will be saying at all times two players must be in there, whether lads are going to be rotating or what, but they just have to. It's not going to work, you know, one player inside, it's not going to work. And the sweeper does work for Watford, but they'll have to keep two players inside at all times.
But Damien, you'd know it as an inside forward. A lot of times the ball that was being given in, they were nearly having shots themselves, and it was going wide.
Yeah.
It gets frustrating.
It's unbelievable frustrating for a corner forward. You know what? Like, we have two kids at home, two small boys, and as I can say, they'll play anywhere, but they won't play in the full forward line, right? Because the ball is being, the amount of lads are hitting pot shots. And next thing you're competing for a ball, you're not even 6 foot, and next thing is a high ball, and the first job of the defender is to let the ball through to the goalie, and the goalie will come out and he'll clear it. So, like, I thought it was interesting that Conal will say when Kilkenny played Dublin in the Leinster Championship this year, right, I was watching the match, and in the first 22 minutes of that game, John Joe Farrell was the only one that had touched the ball that played in corner forward. Like, it's just, it's ladder hitting for pints out the field, and if it drops in around the box or whatever, brilliant. And you're being rated there on three or four balls a half if you're lucky.
Yeah, see, you know, Waterford have nobody in there. That's the problem. They've only got Morris in there, and often there's nothing to aim at, so they're forced to try these long ones. But, like, I'm looking at it, and, like, for Waterford to tweak it a little bit, like, how about leaving Morris and Curran inside? You play O'Mahony and Bennett on the half-forward line. You can still drop the Brick and Moran back, and your two midfielders. That's four extra lads dropping back.
Yeah, well, that's what they will do.
You leave four forwards up there.
They'll definitely, I'd say, look at that. But leaving two lads inside, their aerial ability in there, they're really going to try and expose Wexford. Because I would, from playing Wexford over the years, that's probably where they're probably a little bit weak, is in the air. And any time we try to play them, is try and expose them for pace in around the full back line, and for any long ball that you could get in and have runners off you. It's definitely the way that Waterford kind of play anyway. And I think that it'll suit them the weekend against Wexford.
That's what Dublin did in Croke Park when Wexford looked all at sea. Wexford looked like an intermediate team against Dublin, and it was a filthy evening, but there was a lot of high ball played in on top. Cork, obviously, that's not their game, and they made the Wexford full back line look like world beaters because they were playing the low ball. And the likes of James Breen and Owen Moore, they're great when you're chasing a corner forward for, you know, trying to win a ball on the ground. But Matthew O'Hanlon, full backs, is great under a high ball, but if you play to either of those cornerbacks, a high ball into them, it's not the game they want to play at all.
No, it's not. Like Wexford were obviously poor that night against Dublin, and they beat an awfully team. They were only probably average, and, you know, and I think really that Cork team were on the way down anyway. Like, so have they really been tested so far? No, they haven't. Like, and they're really coming up against one of the top teams now. So, you know, it's probably a little bit step too far for them, but it's a great challenge for
them. Never underestimate a Wexford bandwagon, though. You know, they've got a wind in their sails now.
Well, it's only all of a sudden all the past players are coming out saying how great Liam Dunne is. It was only like a couple of weeks ago they were saying, you know, how things are so bad, injuries, and there's unhappiness in the camp and everything. After the night Dublin beat them in Croke Park, everyone was giving out about everyone and the selectors and everything. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's a legend again.
Give it 4 days, the wind will start blowing in the other direction.
Yeah,
again.
No, we're a fickle bunch, us pundits and journalists. It's like reactionary every Monday. But my opinion on Liam Dunne, I wouldn't really change it because they beat a Cork team that are in disarray. Like, I mean, Wexford are hammering Kilkenny at underage level, but these lads aren't coming through. Like, Wexford made the breakthrough 2 years ago and have gone kind of backwards. So they really, for Liam Dunne to keep his job, they need to put up a really good performance against Waterford, but they need to build on that. You know, going away for another year is no good to anybody, Damien.
No. They're in an All-Ireland quarter-final now, and Liam Dunne will be delighted that they're there. Right, as you said, he was under pressure for his job. As I said the last day, he completely refreshed his whole backroom team. Right, they were extremely poor against Dublin. They got a nice draw with Offaly, to be fair, to get the bandwagon back up and running. Then they got Cork, which, being honest, they got the lucky side of the draw, even though everyone probably would have predicted that Cork would have beat Wexford. As I said, Cork have been extremely poor in the last two seasons. And Wexford had an unbelievable win, 60-year drought first championship match to beaten Cork. You know, so what Liam Dunne has a chance, I think they have a real chance of beating Watford, right? But the big thing is can he get a massive performance out of Wexford? And as you said, to keep these young lads going like this, and you know, will he change his system or his type of play? He won't change anything. I'd nearly say he'll go with the exact same 15, but it's all about getting the performance and getting them players motivated. That's his biggest job for next Sunday, and to see, and also what'll be very important for Wexford next Sunday is that if things are tight, that they don't go in at half-time 5-6 points down, that they're going in at half-time and there might be a pint or two in the difference, or it's a draw match or anything like that, where in the second half they've got a real chance and the crowd can get behind them.
Yeah, can I just change the subject a bit and pick up on something you said? We'll get back to Wexford in a second. And this is Liam Dunne changing his whole backroom team. Like, I hate to see that. Like, I mean, that's completely throwing your backroom team under the bus, as in, you're the leader of the backroom, you're the leader of the management team. It doesn't go well, so you get rid of all the people who you're in charge of and you say, right, hands up, this wasn't my fault, it was all these other idiots, I'm going to get in another crowd of people. And Jerry Cunningham's done it in Dublin as well, got rid of his backroom team, is in. I'm wiping my hands of that 2 years, I'm starting afresh with a new lad. Like, I mean, that's, I think if a manager's doing that, he's a dead man walking.
Yeah, but sometimes, Colm, just to come in on that, sometimes the county board will let that manager know that unless he changes his backroom team and freshes things up, that he hasn't a chance of continuing on as manager, you know. And that's, I'm only just trying to defend the manager there.
Yeah, he should be going if he's been told that, though.
Yeah, but that's where I think they're told to say you need to change your backroom team if you want to try hold the job, try fresh things up, and that's what happens.
But sometimes when a manager comes in, you know, he's going to maybe a county he's not really sure of too many people, and he's forced to pick a couple of selectors. So he's picking someone that he says, oh, that's a good lad from that club, we'll pick him. And then all of a sudden he has a first meeting and he goes, oh my God, these selectors, what am I doing?
Well, you should be interviewing these fellas before you know what I mean? There should be some bit of an interview process that you're not just dragging a lad in that you're not on the same wavelength.
But on the other side of it, you know, it's all, we're going back to Brian Cody, he freshens up his backroom team all the time. Now, I know they're winning all the time, but I think it is important that a new voice every couple of years is always key, and it freshens up everything, and it's, you know, it keeps everyone on their toes to see exactly what's happening in the squad.
Yeah, the Kilkenny template seems to be, it just works for everything except football, pretty much.
Brian Cody freshened up his setup, you know, just when you think about when Tip started to come, and when Tip won the All-Ireland, he changed his whole backroom. His whole backroom team. He didn't get rid of Dempsey because Dempsey is his right hand man, but he did change it up. He had to as well because the players probably wanted a fresh voice, you know.
Yeah, no, it is important, especially when sometimes I wonder if Brian Cody being there so long, like, what does he say? Like, I mean, how does he change his speeches? I remember we got him in for a speech. We were in the All Ireland Club Final in 2004, and we were playing Ballinan. We were favourites, so we got in Brian Cody, who's favourites all the time. And the management wanted him to talk to us about, you know, how you deal with that or whatever. So it was, in theory, it was a good idea. But I was amazed at how kind of generic and unimpressive the speech was. You know, maybe his heart wasn't in it, I don't know. But like, he didn't say anything that an under-12 manager wouldn't. Get to the ball first, win your battle. You know, you think that these managers have some special spell, but like, a lot of them say the same things.
Yeah, we had the same exactly. Brian Cody came in and gave us a talk, I think 2 weeks before the All-Ireland in the club final.
It worked for you.
And the week before, we had Joe Smith in.
All right.
And it was like as if they both read the same things to us.
Really?
They were saying the exact same things, keeping it simple, doing the right things at the right time, and giving the ball to the right person and everything. And we were like, this is the same thing we heard already. And we thought it was like, you know, we thought the manager had already told him what to say. But he just rocked him with his hands in his trousers.
And it was like us, myself and my wife and our two boys went down to Kerry last year. Just, you know the way you think things are different, right? We went down to Kerry last year, the week after they drew the match to Cork. And then we get in to see the Kerry football team training, right, for the last 15 minutes. And I often say to people, watching through that, and oh, they were probably doing all these tactics. No, they weren't. They were just kicking footballs.
Yeah.
They were kicking and taking shots. You know, I often think that you have to do these massive, miraculous things, but it's not as simple things. They're just kicking points and just kicking the ball around.
I think this goes back to our point of backroom teams and these S&C and these coaches who are overcomplicating what really are, you know, pretty simple games.
Well, look, I always say the more Cohn's out in the field, you know, the really what the coach doesn't really know what he's doing. Like, the less Cohn's, the better, and keep it as very simple and hit the ball over and back. Like, what's wrong with that?
Rather than
running around the field for about 20 minutes and then doing it. Like, look, really, really simplify everything. It will be my key, and less running, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
going back to Wexford and Waterford, I was just thinking, Wexford are going to have to make at least one change anyway in the full back line. It seems James Breen won't be fit. He'll probably be replaced by Cathal Dunbar. I just think James Breen deserves a bit of a shout out here. He marked Alan Cadigan while suffering from viral meningitis, which I think has to go down as one of the most impressive performances under duress by any inter-county player in recent years.
Yeah, it doesn't say much for Cadigan. I think Cadigan only scored a point, so the less said about his performance, the better. Lads, what about Conor McDonald? Because we have to talk about him. I know it's an obvious one to pick out, but his huge strength is his aerial ability, right? And Waterford were torn apart by long balls against Tipperary. So if Wexford keep it simple, get it in long to McDonald and get those support runners, you know, that Tipperary had from midfield and a half forward line, maybe that's the key to being able to open up this Waterford defence, Conor.
I think it's definitely an option that they're going to try and employ and try and probably the Waterford full back line would be relatively small, you know, so it's definitely going to be a tactic. But, you know, we thought that as well when we played Waterford, you know, we're going to be a little bit taller than, you know, myself and Mark Schutte, and we're inside. We said, surely if we get a high ball, our chances of winning are very good. But yes, you win it, but it's straight away you come down and they bottle you up straight away and you're just trying to hand pass it off.
Yeah.
So their tactic of nearly letting you win the high ball inside and then absolutely crowding you out so you can't have a shot. So, look, it is a tactic, but I think they need to keep as much space in there as possible, you know, for the pace that McDonald has once he gets it.
Yeah, what do you think, Damien?
Well, McDonald scored 13 points at Asta, 10 frees, 3 from play. So he is their go-to man, there's no point. Then you had Lee Chin, 4 points from play. He's having a revelation of his season, so he's, and like, he's such a versatile player too, Lee Chin, because he was centre-back, was it 2 years ago, midfield, maybe last year, and now he's got a centre-forward. So, like, and McDonald is so young, and he's a left-hander, you know, sometimes it suits a left-handed player to catch a ball a lot better than a right-handed player. So I would definitely say that Liam Dunn has spoke about getting the ball in long to the edge of the square where McDonald is, and hopefully he'll get on to a couple of scores and break a few and win free. That's definitely going to be a game plan.
Yeah, predictions here, lads, to finish up. Mikey, I'll start with you. Waterford are 1-5, Wexford are 9-2, so
I think I'll have to stick with my homeland, so Wexford are going to pull off a shock.
You're like John Evans in the football. Head, heart overruling the head. Crazy call. Conor?
I think Waterford probably be about 7 or 8 points.
Right. Damien?
No, I'm going to go for Waterford. The more I think about it, I think there's a massive backlash in Waterford. I thought it was very interesting with the choice of 5 subs that Derek McGrath took off in the Munster final, and I think there's going to be a huge backlash, and definitely Waterford.
Right, and I'll go for Waterford as well, for what that's worth. All right, hope you all know we have a football show as well.
I'm not finished yet, it took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their asses for 10 years.
The big game of the weekend, lads, is probably the second game, Clare and Galway. You know, both teams under a little bit of pressure for different reasons. Damien, have things settled down in Galway since, you know, the collapse in the second half and the Loch Nan storm and everything?
Everything has settled down. It's been a couple of weeks now since it was, and we got to go back playing club championships. So we did on the Saturday and Sunday after the Kilkenny game, and it probably did the players good as well to get back with their clubs. It's always a nice thing to go back with your clubs. So the lads were back training the Tuesday and Wednesday night as well after the Leinster Championship, and they were training on the Sunday as well. So everything has settled down. I believe the lads have worked extremely hard. It's a game that everyone is kind of really looking forward to, and they're just hoping, from I personally being up here working in Innes, they're hoping that it's not going to be completely tactical. You know, it'll be actually a good game of hurling, because we haven't seen too many good games of hurling this summer. So the rumour is that Galway are going to go with basically the same tactic as Clare, which is crowd the middle, bring out a kind of like a corner forward and play a sweeper. And basically, let's see who'll win. That is the rumour what's going to happen. Johnny Cohen will act as a sweeper for Galway, so he will. And basically, they're going to play the exact same game plan and see who'll score the most.
Cohen, do you think that's a mistake?
No, I don't think it's a mistake. You know, the Galway team in the last couple of years are, you know, everyone knows how talented they are, but when it really comes down to it, especially against Kilkenny, they've just died in the second half, and it's like as if they're nearly waiting for Kilkenny to come at them, or waiting for a team to come at them. So playing Clare, probably the pressure's off a little bit for them. You know, I don't think maybe a few of their main players like Canning or whoever didn't play too well the last day, and I think there's a huge performance, and especially him. But look, if Damien is right in what he's saying, is they're both going to play that kind of a tactic, and it's not going to be a pretty watching. It's going to be very hard to watch, but you know, I can see why the Galway management want to do that. They probably feel that they can really, you know, out-hustle them around the middle, and if they get ball up front, which we all know what they can do then, you know.
Yeah, but the thing about that is as well, and Clare are such a well-oiled machine at this tactic. You know, Galway are trying to do it in 2 weeks, you know, so is it wise maybe to change what you've been doing all year just to play Clare, who have this system down to a T? You know, the short hand-passing game, they're not going to be driving it in long. You know, it's whether Galway can actually get to that level of that system so soon.
There's no doubt they can. Like I've seen it over the years with Galway. When they're up for the fight, you know, no team can live with them. Look, it's all or nothing for them then this weekend. So I really feel that, you know, if they can just overcome a little bit of the Clare onslaught of the short hand pass and break it down once or twice, then the Clare lads will start questioning themselves, and it'll give Galway a boost. You know, and look, it's going to be tough to watch, but I feel this is a huge time for Galway and a huge chance for them to really perform.
Should Galway not just really trust themselves, trust the hurlers they have, trust the way that they played against Kilkenny, which I know it was the same old failing as the All-Ireland final, but for 40 or 50 minutes they had the best hurling team of all time, or well, maybe not this incarnation, but they had Kilkenny seriously on the racks. And should they not kind of take the Tipperary approach and say, we're going to play our game, you can set up whatever way you want, but we trust ourselves that if we play our natural game with the players we have, we can beat you whatever way you want to line out. Is Galway not kind of changing their game to suit Clare? Is that not almost an admission of defeat before the ball's even thrown in?
I don't know. I think Galway's kind of tactical. Damien would know better nearly than me, but Galway's tactic seems to be always nearly to kind of crowd a team out anyway and try and hit them on the break as fast as they can and get the ball in, you know, to the lads that have pace inside. So I don't think they're hugely going away from it. And I probably feel that the players really want to do this now and really want to attack Clare this way because they feel it's the best way to do it. And look, obviously there's pressure from outside after what has happened with the new managers and everything. I really feel that this is a huge chance for Galway to progress and to really show everyone how good and talented they are.
Yeah, what do you think, Damien? Is Galway playing a sweeper? Is that going away from the game you'd be used to, or do you think it will come naturally enough to them?
Galway never really played sweepers now over the last couple of years. By all means, we used to often bring out a third midfielder or a Roman forward, which I often played the role, but Galway wouldn't be that usually experienced in playing a sweeper. But basically what's going to happen next Sunday, I think, is the middle eight in Thurles, Galway versus Clare, is going to be just crowded. There's going to be numbers back, and there's going to be bodies, and there's going to be lads tackles in twos and threes, and I do expect that Galway will have two men inside as well, so they will, and maybe just when the ball breaks down, if Galway gets the ball, they'll hit a route one to full forwarding and hopefully they'll get onto balls and scores a bit like the Tipperary tactic. But it's just the whole middle is going to be completely crowded, absolutely without question. And the next day, a massive feature of the game is going to be the free takers. Massive feature. Next day it's going to nearly be a case of who's going to be on their 10 out of 10 A game for frees, and there will be a few frees the next day, but the middle is going to be completely crowded.
I saw David Burke talking about Joe Canning, and he's saying, right, he's not scoring from play, but he's completely dragging defenders towards him, you know, and Mannion's filling his boots, Whelan's filling his boots, and these younger lads are scoring from play because Joe, you know, is there, just his presence alone. And it's almost like, would Waterford be better off put Joe in the corner, have Dylan cover him, and then have the rest of them have, you know, just have Dylan the sweeper cover him, and then have the rest of them kind of maybe one on one. Is that getting a bit too?
I think that's getting a bit too on the top foot. Look, I think I know from playing the defence against Joe, like you're always worrying where he is because he's a danger no matter where he is. So if it's two or three lads, they're going to be keeping an eye on him. You know, he's vital for that kind of a kind of an X factor, if you like, want to give it that. But he's also very good, if you watch him lately, of giving good ball into the full forward line. You know, a lot of lads are just lumping the ball in, but any ball that he's given in is really good, and any pass he's given is crisp, and it's to the chest and to the hand straight away. You know, and it's great that the flexibility of him as a player, that he can go out and do that, but he can also go inside for a few minutes as well. And you know, his aerial ability, everyone knows what he can do once he gets it in his hand. So it's a good mix to have, and it's a great option for Galway. If it's not working around the middle, you know, put him inside for a second and see what happens.
The last time they played in the quarter final 2 years ago, Clare won, obviously, and went on to win the All Ireland. That day, Joe only scored a point from play, you know, and he had no point from play in the Leinster final this year. It's a bit of a cop out to say he's dragging defenders away. Is it not a case of, if he's your best forward, you should be counting on him for a handful of scores from play every day anyway?
Look, I think
just going back in that point there, Colin. I'm just laughing and smiling here. Just Galway played Clare in championship in 2013, and Tony Kelly was their marquee forward, as we all know, right? So Anthony Cunha-Menez had Johnny Cohen earmarked to mark him wherever he went, right?
Right.
And Tony Kelly and was running over and back and left and right and going in and out, and Johnny Cohen was following him. And the next thing, once again, is Tony Kelly got pure sick when he realised that Johnny Cohen was marking him, right? So Tony Kelly ran back into his full back line. So he did, and pulled Johnny Cohen all the way up to what was our full forward line.
Yeah.
And next thing, Clare went hurling with five forwards for about 10-minute period. And I think they got the goal over it.
So that's just Tony Kelly thinking on his feet.
Yeah, he had a lad marking him absolutely tight. Next thing, Tony Kelly just ran back into his own full back line, and Johnny Cohen was doing his job. He went up and followed him up into the full forward line. Next thing, Clare went holding with five forwards. Next thing, Conor McGrath got a goal against us.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that's interesting. Like, that's the thing of maybe have Joe, if he sees that Dylan is covering him, maybe, I don't know, Damien, you always want Joe playing in the full forward line at full forward. You think it's his best position, but is it his best position when you're going to have Dylan standing right in front of him? Is he better, bit more free?
Sure, like the argument there in column is that you're saying about sweeper system. No one plays a better sweeper system than Watford with Tadhg De Bocca, right? But sure, Tipperary were getting balls and they were driving them to Route 1 the last day. The Tipperary players were going up either winning it or breaking it down and they were getting goals. So like, you can have as many sweeper systems as you want. If they're hitting Route 1 and hitting to the edge of the square where you have a good man there that's able to steal ball and win high ball, the sweeper is just being taken out for it. You know,
yeah.
But the question is, you know, sometimes I always do hate that the whole topic is about Joe, and if Joe does this and Joe does that. Joe's only just one player. There's six forwards. Everyone has to carry their own clout, you know. But the problem is, as I was just saying to you, as being a corner forward, it's terribly frustrating when you're inside and you're not getting ball, you know. And what happens is you start getting frustrated, you start getting bored, you start getting contrary. Next thing, that's when you start pulling out. Start coming out the field. Next thing, don't you know, when you're actually going out the field, the ball will be dropped into the edge of the square when you're not there.
Yeah.
So basically, the whole thing is, if Galway have a game plan, and if it's Joe or if it's Carl Manning or whoever it is at the edge of the square, and the ball is to be pumped into him, it's a case of pump it into him. But sometimes I find the game plan goes out the window, and next thing, pot shots are being hit, and next thing, all you get is this hand going up saying sorry. Right, as I do say, brain dead stuff, you know, and fierce annoying, but then that's my rant over.
Here's one for you here, something I'm thinking about. Clare have the smallest midfield, I think, maybe in the history of hurling. You know, they've absolutely no height. And I know the new lighter ball, that puckouts often go to the half forward line, so you're going with big wing forwards now to catch them. Against Clare, is it better just to drop them in midfield where, you know, Galvin and Reedy, they're tiny. You're going to beat them aerially and just drop the ball a little bit into midfield rather than getting the distance out of it to the half forward line?
Well, I think it's easy to say that. You know, that area is so crowded, it's very hard to just drop it in midfield. You know, if the keeper's hitting it long, he's hitting it as long as he can, and he's trying to target certain areas. Dropping it to midfield is very, very hard to do. Sure, it's all it needs is a half back to kind of move out a little bit, and they have it then, you know. So it's hard enough to do. It's easy having it down on paper here, but it's really, really hard for a keeper to do that.
Yeah, but even the evolution of midfield, like the Ollie Bakers are gone now, you know, the Colin Lynches are gone. Yeah.
It's all runners now. You runners need to be able to up and down. And,
yeah, but yeah. Also, Colin, on that, which is interesting, you're saying, why don't you hit the ball out to midfield? Clare won't hit the ball out to either their midfielders. Clare, after changing their goalkeeper, and they're after getting a new goalkeeper in called Andrew Fahey, which is from... just out Scariff, or Cantilever's club, but he's basically in there because he's got a better puck out, as in he kind of more pinpoints them.
Yeah, I don't love puck out. But what about Galway, though? I'm saying should drop it into midfield where they're controlling.
Yeah, I know exactly, but I just want to say that Clare after getting a new goalkeeper, but Colin Cannon, if I was to, Colin's a great goalie, but if I was to say any criticism about Colin, sometimes I think he's puck out to be too slow. I'd love to get a goalie that would just pick up a ball and just hit it out good and crispy, you know, good and snappy. But as I said, the middle eight is going to be all crowded. Puck out is going to hit the cornerbacks all day.
Would you have concerns about the Clare attack then? Because aside from Woolley, as you would know, the 5-32 they got against Laois, Clare haven't been overscoring this year. You know, they beat Limerick 19 points to 15. You know, and then they only got 17 points against Waterford. You know, they've... At the start of the year, during the league, you know, they were playing Shane O'Donnell on his own inside. Now they're giving him a little bit of support, but defensively they might have things figured out. I don't know how you think about it, but in attack, they're definitely not as potent as they used to be.
No, maybe not, but I think it's more to the fact that the support runners aren't coming from midfield and a half forward and into support the O'Donnell and whoever's inside to get the ball to. A lot of times he gets the ball in the corner and you know,
he's running out the way.
He's running out the way, and he's trying to hit it over his shoulder. He's trying to hold on to it for that extra 2 or 3 seconds till support comes. You know, I think it's a little bit easier to do. It's a little bit harder to do that in the league. You know, when your fitness mightn't be as it should be in the summer. But I think now any ball that's going inside, they're going to have three or four runners coming at pace to try and get that ball off them, and that's where they get goals. And sure, look, that's how Tipperary got the goals the last day.
What about that, Damien? You say, you know, you don't want your kids playing in the full forward line. If you play in the Clare full forward line, you're Shane O'Donnell. You're guaranteed to have to chase for nearly everybody. You get more ball than you want. The only thing is you don't have a whole lot you can do with it.
Yeah, well, and that is the one thing Davey Fitz has always been. He's always wants the ball being put in 70-30, so in the favour of the forward. But I thought it was interesting too with Shane O'Donnell the last day. Just, I think it was an overkill on Shane O'Donnell in the sense that you get goals. Every time you get the ball, you go get a goal or you create a goal and you take on your man. Or I felt the last day against Limerick in particular, he was getting balls. He's taken on the man slightly and he's cutting back in and throwing the ball over the bar. And I think that's something that he definitely had to do in his game. He was nearly overdoing the whole thing of trying to get a goal. And now he got, you know, last day he scored a couple of points, which was good for his game. Now all of a sudden you're saying to yourself, right, is he going to take me on to go for a pint or is he going to take me on to go for a goal? But that, no, the one thing about Clare, they'll always hit in quality ball or try hitting quality ball into their forwards.
They do, and I've talked to Owen Kelly before, and he said that Davey used to do this down in Newell, where they'd leave when they move out one corner forward, they just leave that space there. And you see Shane O'Donnell, he constantly running from full forward position out to the right hand side, where he's got so much room. It's an obvious tactic that Davey uses nearly with all his teams.
Yeah, it's an obvious tactic, but it's very hard. And if you don't have the runners, as I said, it's very hard. You're getting the ball in the corner, as Damien would know. And a lot of times, if you can't take on your man there, you're nearly stuck, you know. But if you're on the outside coming in, if the ball was any chance coming in, at least you have a better chance of coming in towards the goal.
Yeah.
I would always prefer to have two lads kind of a little bit wider so you can come in rather than going out attacking the ball, and next thing you have the ball out on the sideline and a fella right up behind you, so like you
can't score from out there.
Very hard to score out there, and then you have a shot and it goes wide and you have everyone giving out to you, you know?
Yeah, how good is Shane O'Donnell, Conal? I'll ask you first, because obviously he, you know, came onto the scene that All-Ireland final scoring 3 goals, and it's almost like this lad's the messiah, he's the new kid on the block. Got injured then and struggled for a little bit of form. Like, are we talking top tier full forwards here? Or are we talking like a fella who wears his heart in his sleeve, but like wouldn't be at the top level?
Ah, look, I think he's a quality hurler up there with the best of them. I think it's an awful lot of pressure put on him. Everyone knows him after scoring the 3 goals.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to live up to that. And that's why probably a lot of it is every time he gets the ball, he wants to try and replicate, get a few goals all the time. While, as Damien said, if he just to, you know, fainted one way and just clipped it over a couple of times. You're always keeping the defenders, always keeping them thinking. But look, a serious amount of pressure on him. He's still very young, you know. You have to, we can't forget that, and he still has his best years yet to come. So, look, he's still up there with the best foot forwards in the country.
Yeah, and Podge Collins, Damien, he kind of with his all action play, he makes Clare tick. You know, he scored 3 points from play the last day, and he's back to his best form. A lot of people talk about the Podge Collins role. That's actually the Damien Hayes role that he's nicked off you.
He did, yeah. We'll have to have a chat with him over that. Believe it or not, I had a great chat with Podge. So I did there a couple of weeks ago. I sold him a car, and we got chatting then, and he was telling me about how the whole role came about. That in 2012, Galway, as I always say, we nearly won in All-Ireland in the set-down, and they were basically trying to come up with a role that would suit Podge best with his energy levels and all action and intelligence as well, right? And they basically told him that they wanted to see would he be able to do something similar to what I was doing for Galway at that particular year in 2012. And I often say this, it's very funny, Galway ditched us in 2013. They said it wouldn't work 2 years in a row, and Clare stole it. And Clare went on and won the All-Ireland with basically the exact same game plan. So they'd put...
Are you taking credit for that?
Definitely going to take credit for that. Absolutely.
I'm worried about how much you charge Podge for this car now, seeing as you think you were done by...
Podge got a great deal for this. Don't be worrying about that.
You have to mention as well, it's a Skoda, Damien. There'll be people
absolutely,
listening.
Absolutely. And he got very well looked after. It's very important, right? But Podge got 3 points the last day. Shane O'Donnell got 3 points from play the last day. We all know Podge came from horrific cruciate injury. He actually hurt his cruciate again in the club game, so he did only a couple of weeks ago. And he's after coming back again from that, he's playing football, he's playing hurling. He's actually a great attitude. But yeah, Podge is a massive part of the whole Clare setup and the way they think. But like, Clare has super forwards: Shane O'Donnell, Podge, Tony Kelly, Conor McGrath, and it's a case of can they click. And if they click, they'll be seriously hard to contain and beat Clare. But like, the role Podge plays is vital. It really is simple as that.
Yeah, I don't want to be hard on Limerick here, but there's something about this game. It's almost like a really, really big hitter is going out, you know, this Sunday. There's a lot of pressure on both teams. Lads, we'll take predictions here before we finish. Mikey, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go with Galway. I'm a bit worried about how much Clare are managing to score against the better teams, and I also, like Davy Fitz being in hospital the week of the game, I don't think that can help preparations either. So I was going for Galway anyway. Now I'm firmly in the Galway camp.
Conal?
I think there's a huge performance in Galway, and I think they really produce it, but I think there's a lot more in this Clare team that we've seen, and I think the little extra thing that will go with them is nearly the opposite of what you were saying. Is if Davy Fitz isn't there, it's going to be absolutely huge inspiration for them.
And he won't be annoying them on the sideline either. And the referee might give them a free because Davey's not pissing them off.
I think Clare are going to shade this 2 or 3 points just because of those things.
Yeah, okay, I'll go with Galway for the reasons, a bit like we're talking about Roscommon, that they're on the road a long time and Clare have been putting so much effort in all year. I think that they might be a little bit burnt out, so I'll go with Galway, but who cares what I think. Damien?
I'm going to be biased. I'm going to say Galway as well. I think Galway, there's a big performance in Galway. I think they have to produce a performance. I think they're going to bully Clare, and I think they're going to be physically a lot more stronger. And on those grounds, I think that's why Galway will win. And I think, as I said, there's a big performance in them.
All right. Well, the bookies have it. They have Clare slight favourites at 10-11, and you'll get Galway.
But I won't be surprised if it's a draw. I won't be surprised if it's a draw.
Yeah, not often draws in hurling, but you definitely wouldn't be surprised. Galway are 11-10, so look, it's a 50-50 game, and it's a toss-up. So we'll see who goes out of the championship and who goes through on Sunday evening. All right, that's all we have time for this week. Conal, thanks very much. Damien, thanks very much for contributing. Thanks to Conan, Mikey, Dion and Evan for putting the show together. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at sportsjoe_GAA and subscribe to the GAA Hour on iTunes. We are top of the charts, so keep liking, rating us, whatever you do. See you next week. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's harder to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.